Gentlemen, thank you so very much for being here today. Wow, May 7th already, huh? May 7th, year of our Lord, 2024. Here we are in the Live from America, New Hampshire studios. Pretty soon, we might be in other studios. We're going to have a studio in Iowa. We're going to have a studio in New Hampshire. Of course, we've got Mike and Frankie's studio in New York, and LFA TV is just expanding, and all by the greatness of God. I mean, it's all a blessing from God. I mean, how when I explain to people, when they go, "How do I follow you on Facebook?" And I go, you can't. And they say, "Do you have a YouTube channel?" Nope. "What about TikTok?" Nope. "Well, how do we follow you?" Follow God. How about that? Don't follow us. Follow God. But I will say that not having all of those major platforms like that, the odds for us to grow like we have been 1,000% against us. And with your prayers, your donations and financial help, and our determination to get the truth out every day has led us to being able to expand. And it's really nice because now we're going to be able to be in a position where I am more readily available to more events and things that are going on throughout the country because I'll be centrally located for the next foreseeable, you know, amount of years. And we'll be able to do a lot more live stuff. Like, we're going to be doing LFA TV live on the road. Kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So, man, he's been so good. Let me say good morning to some of you great, wonderful Rise Up Family Patriots here this morning. I appreciate you being here. Mustache 49, good to see you. T. Mitchell, always great to have you in here. Majorva 27, CQ, good morning to you all. God bless you. Wiser for it. Miranda Dolan, mwah, I love you so much. Isaiah, hey Jeremy, this is my only second time watching live. I always watch for a couple hours later, but I want to say good morning and thank you for being a light on my journey. God bless. Well, God bless you too. God bless you too, and thank you for being here. Thanks for being here live. It's really awesome. Yesterday's episode was really awesome. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. God Chick, good morning. Jay Gizme, good morning. I'm Sullivan. Good morning. Isaiah, hello. Tanya Tucker. I wonder if that's the real Tanya Tucker. I mean, the one that we know for famous reasons anyway. Army Dog, good morning. Eileen Jimenez, hello. Good to see you. T. Mitchell. I mean, not T. Mitchell. Kittenhead. I got my book. And it's a different book than the one I had. So it's even better because I've not read this one. I had understanding the 66 books of the Bible. This is living the 66 books of the Bible. So I'm very, very, very excited about this present and this book. And thank you very much. Barb Naylor, good to see you, Barb. We're going to be reaching out to you in the next couple weeks. I do want to let everybody know that in the next couple weeks, we are going to be shutting down the store for about 30 days. Yes, we still have Jesus Christ tote bags. I believe we do. I'll have to ask Sabrina, but I believe we do. We're going to be shutting down the store during the transition of my family's move to Iowa. And the reason being is it's just, we got to get everything over there. We got to get set up for shipping stuff out again. And pretty much the entire stuff is right here. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a little bit. Plus we're putting like four or five new items, new coffee cups, new shirts, new designs for the rest of the summer into the fall. So by the time we get out there, we're our move commences on June 8th. On June 8th. It'll take us a few days to get there. We're not going to rush it. And then when we get out there, I'll probably have somebody fill in for me for a couple days while we get the new studio set up, at least up to running anyway. And then we'll be back at it. But I do want to let you guys know, if you want to get stuff from the store and you want to help out, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to take advantage of that $10 overstock list and all of that. Because the more you buy now, the less we got to carry with us. You know what I mean? Jay Gizme says, I get paid Friday. Woot, store, here I come. Well, thank you very much. Did you sell your house, Jeremy? Not yet. We're in the process of it. We're leaning on God for that one because it's such a stressful thing what we're trying to do here. We're not just regularly moving. I mean, it's moving, it's selling, it's adding a studio. It's, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. So, Jeremy, how's she doing? Is she moving? My mom? No, my mom is staying here. And I'll be back here once a month. If I can. Doing Live from America and Rise Up from this studio. So make sure I order extra coffee this month. Yes, exactly. Because like I said, there's going to be about a month where we're out. Just the store will be shut down. Anyway, folks, today I titled the show Peacemakers. And I think it's very important that we talk about being a peacemaker. Not just living in peace, but being a peacemaker. Thank you, Jacqueline. God bless you. I appreciate that. What a nice thing for you to say. I love you. Thank you. Thank you, KC22. Thank you for putting that link in there. God chick, yes. Very stressful. Did y'all purchase a house already? We're in the middle of that right now. We should be closing within about a week and a half. But it's also, you know, we got to sell our house too. So there's a lot of contingencies there. But we're just letting God work it out. There's too much for us to try to handle. You know what I mean? And keep peace anyway in the house. And that's what I want to talk about today. Okay? Peace. Peacemakers. Let me read for you the description of today's show, and then we'll get into the actual meat and potatoes of the show. Rise Up, episode number 341. And by the way, did send a newsletter out, so you should be able to open up your newsletters and be able to read what I sent out to you this morning, which is the verse of the day. 341 already. Freedom from disturbance. One way to describe peace. Freedom from disturbance. Tranquility. Another word that describes peace. A period of time where there is no war, no fighting, no famine. Another way to describe peace. You know, there was a time in our lives, folks, maybe more than one for a lot of us, but for most of us, there was a time in our lives where we did experience true peace. It was when we were in the womb. It was before being born into sin. It was before being born into this world where war is all around us. We are born into a spiritual war between evil and good. Now, we know who wins, so it's kind of like a spoiler alert. We do know who wins. That doesn't change the fact that we're living in it and we're human and we're in the flesh. So when you experienced true peace was when you were in the womb. And for a lot of us, that was a very long time ago. There was another time. Did you actually experience true peace? For those of you who have been there. And that is when you gave your life to Jesus and allowed the Holy Spirit to transform your heart. That's another time when you have experienced true peace. Would you like to experience it once again? Let's talk about it today on Rise Up. Please do me a favor and make sure you are signed in. We had a lot. I noticed that there was about 60 unfollows yesterday. When that happens, it's not because people are unfollowing. It truly is because there's a glitch in the system and it's automatically unfollowing you from LFA TV. So first of all, make sure you're signed in. Second of all, make sure you're following because you have to be signed in to follow. And third of all, make sure that you hit that thumbs up for us and make it turn green, okay? We would really appreciate that. The verse of the day today is going to come from the book of James. James 3, 17 and 18. Again, James 3, 17 and 18. Now, before we get into this book, wow, W. Wilson says, I was in the womb exactly 60 years ago, awaiting my arrival in a few months. Wow. I know, right? Pretty incredible. Before we get into the books and the Bible and the verse, let's go to the Lord. Mad Test says, oh boy, peacemaker, I lost my peace yesterday in a stupid argument. Now today I'm so mad at myself for falling into Satan's trap. Today I repent and apologize. I want my peace back. Mad Test, last Monday was that for me. If all of you remember last Monday, I went ham on live, and I felt so stupid. And I argued with people in my outside of the show. I was arguing with people, and I believe your site is not in below your website. I think you meant to type something different. I believe even Eli and I had a little bit of division that day because there was problems here. And, you know, it's just when that happens, when you lose your peace, nothing feels right. Everything feels out of place. You almost feel like you, when you wake up in the middle and you don't know where you are, and you have one of those nights where you're just such in a deep sleep, you wake up, and you have no idea what's going on, and then you woke up abruptly and nothing seems to connect throughout the day. It's when you lose your peace, you kind of get that feeling, right? So today we're going to go to the Lord right now. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask for peace. We're going to ask for understanding as we get into this show titled Peacemakers Today, okay? Aloha from Hawaii. Wow, I wonder what time it is in Hawaii right now. Anyway, let's get into our prayer. Whew. Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we gather and think about the peace that you give us and the traps that we fall into that take our peace from us, and I want to focus on how we can avoid those traps and how we can get that peace back if we don't or if we can't avoid those traps. How do we do that? What do we do? Lord, you brought this message to me this morning, I think, for a very specific person. That person listening right now knows exactly who they are and that you are speaking directly to them. Lord, please touch the hearts of everybody listening and watching today. Please help spread this gospel to all who need it. Because nothing in this world is better than joy and peace in the Spirit of God. And that's what we want to focus on today. Lord, we thank you for bringing us this message. We thank you for dwelling with us. We thank you for being here with us as there are two and more gathered in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Eli, it's 3 a.m. in Hawaii. Somebody's watching us at 3 a.m. in Hawaii. I wonder if that's your friend. You know you got your friend in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think that's her? She's not a God-fearing kind of person? Well, if it is her, 3 a.m., that's I'll tell you what, that's some dedication right there. That's some dedication right there. CQ says, Jeremy, will you be hosting Rise Up when you move, or will someone be filling in too? Good question. I can probably end up doing Rise Up right from my laptop. Rise Up is such an important show. Not that Live from America isn't, but I guess we'll see. And if anything, I'll pre-record a couple episodes, maybe some interviews, and put those up. Nobody can fill in on Rise Up. That's just the way it is. You want to know why nobody can fill in on Rise Up? Because it's my journey with Jesus. It's not a, Jeremy, when you do the political parts, it's hard for us who listen, cannot imagine doing what you're doing. So God bless you and prayers for you and your family. Yeah, it's going to be a rough one when I end up doing that. Nobody can do Rise Up but me. And it's not because nobody's, you know, educated enough in the word or It's not because nobody is able or skillful or you know, it's just because it's my journey with Jesus. It's not Bible 101. You know what I mean? And if I did ever have anybody fill in for me, it would be Will Johnson. And only because Will shares something with my journey that other people don't share. He was my John the Baptist. Will Johnson was one of the reasons that I even started looking towards Jesus for help. So if I did need to, and I may in the future, have Will Johnson doing it. So there won't be rise up after your move. That's not what was said. Nope. That's not what was said. There will be rise up after I move. We're talking about during the move. During the move. I don't think anybody said there will be no rise up after I move. Rise up is your passion and your God-given talent. Will could, if he needed to, he could talk about you. Well, that's the thing. Like I said, Will and I share that, right? So I would definitely leave it in the hands of Will. His journey is absolutely amazing. Jeremy, I was in a battle at 11 a.m. on whom to watch. You or Bongino, you won. Well, hey. Well, Dan Bongino's a great guy. He's got a great show, and I wouldn't blame you for watching it. So I really do appreciate your viewership. I'll tell you that. Will Johnson would be great. Amen. Thank you, MD. I appreciate that too. Okay, so here we go. Peacemakers. Let's get into, while you guys are opening up your Bibles to James 3, 17 and 18, let me read for you from the new book, ladies and gentlemen. Living in the 66 books of the Bible, okay? Can you imagine what it would have been like to have grown up in the tiny village of Nazareth as part of the holy family of holiest, the holy of holiest? You know what I mean? Mary, your mother, Joseph, your father, Jesus, your big brother. Imagine these five brothers all sharing the same little bedroom. Jesus, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, also known as Jude in Matthew 13, 55. Not the Judas that betrayed Jesus, a different Judas, right? That actually happened to two of the New Testament authors. Near the end of the Bible, we come to the book of James and Jude, both attributed to men who had grown up with Jesus himself. I mean, if anybody has an insight as to who Jesus, the Son of Man, is, whoo! Will Johnson can share when he introduced to you Jesus from his point of view. Amen. It was a wonderful time. James bent over backward not to leverage his unique place. He refers to himself only as a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in James 1:1. Only once more does he mention the Lord's name in chapter 2 when he speaks of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Instead of talking about Jesus, he talked like Jesus. Many people have compared James' letter to the Sermon on the Mount. When we read the book of James, it sounds just like we are listening to the teachings of Jesus. That's why James is such a practical, down-to-earth book, telling us how to be doers of the word, putting action to our faith, and living out our Christian testimonies. He stresses the way we control our temper and control our tongues. He wants our words to be truthful. Implementing James is as simple as doing a good deed today. Let someone see Jesus in your attitude and actions before the sun goes down. Peacemaker. Thank you, $5, U.S. Navy Mom. And thank you, Majorva, Eli, $30 for you and I for lunch. Maybe we'll just leave the studio early today and go hit some golf balls and have some lunch. You want to do that today and shut off some of the stressier computer problems and the studio problems? Poor Eli over there. Everybody thinks I pick on him too much. You know what that is? It's just called being a bigger brother, right? I'm older than he is, definitely stronger than he is. I mean, look at these weapons of mass destruction I carry around every day. Oh, I think I just popped out some chest hairs there, Eli. um, Patriotic Patty says, I'm not at peace. Well, today you might be. Today you might be. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a peacemaker. I truly am. I am a peacemaker in the way that if you read this verse and you read the entire verse 17 and 18, you can find out if you're a peacemaker or not. So let's get into this right now. Okay? But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. That means the wisdom of heaven is not tainted. Any wisdom that God gives you, you can rely on 100% as being true, no matter if you like it or not. No matter if it sounds good or not, no matter if it makes sense or not, wisdom is wisdom, and if it comes from heaven, it is true. That's number one, okay? It's pure. Then it's peace-loving. Then it's considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, first of all, if you expect other people to bring you peace, or if you expect the joy and the peace of others in their life to dictate the peace and joy in your life, you will never, ever, ever reap a harvest of righteousness. Simple, plain to the point, ladies and gentlemen. If you rely on your coworkers, your boss, your family members, your spouse, if your peace and joy hangs on their peace and joy, then you are absolutely behind the ball on that one. Okay, you've dropped the ball. You've got to get it. It says it right here. But wisdom comes from heaven is first of all pure. Okay. That's where you got to get it from. So then you got to ask yourself, do you exemplify these things that I'm about to read to you? Are you considerate? Well, I would say I'm a considerate person. Eli will tell you, even though I'm very opinionated and I have my ways of thinking and doing things, I will always be considerate of somebody else's views and ways of life. Now, some people that are not in the chat anymore would say, well, that's not true. And I would say, well, that's not true. The reason why you're not in the chat anymore is because you acted like a 5-year-old and wouldn't stop. Now, when it comes to being considerate of somebody, I am considerate of everybody's lifestyle. I never put somebody down to their face unless they absolutely deserve it for whatever reason or not. I am always, always sticking up for people, even if I do not agree with them. Eli will tell you that. And I always get stabbed in the back for it too. Now, I don't want you to take my opinions on my show with what I believe after I report a story as being not considerate. Because there's not a person that would ever has met me in real life that would say, unless they are some crazy left-wing progressive communist, there's not a person who's ever met me in my life that would say he's not a considerate person. Not bragging. I'm just putting myself up to the test here. Submissive. Am I submissive? Only to God, and that's what I need to work on. Now, I know that you say, well, you should only submit to God. Well, that's not true. That's not true. You should submit to the truth. You should submit to your wives as your wives should submit to you. You are one, right? There's a lot of things that you should be submissive to, and it doesn't necessarily have to be another person, but you have to show signs of submissiveness in order to show the fruit of God and to exemplify peace. Not everywhere, but in a lot of places we do and we don't. So that's one that I have to work on. And by the way, if anybody's worried about like where to send stuff afterwards when we do move, don't worry. You'll have all that information in the lower ticker every day, okay? And anything that you might not see and ship to us, it'll be forwarded to us anyway, okay? Let's move to the next one. Full of mercy. Oh, my Lanta, am I full of mercy? I accept the apology from anybody who's done anything to me. Now, can I accept that same apology for somebody who does something to my kids? I don't know. But I bet I would. I bet I would. But no matter what you do to me, you could have physically stabbed me in the back with a knife, and I would forgive you. I am full of mercy and forgiveness. Am I full of good fruit? That's the next one. And these are questions you should be asking yourself as I'm asking myself. Am I full of good fruit? Well, what are the 9 fruits of the Spirit? Go through each one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit and find out, are you producing these things? I would say I produce 7 of the 9. Still got some work to do. Am I impartial and am I sincere? I'd say yes. I'd say yes, I am. Both of those things. So, peacemakers. I'm always trying to, let's just say that. Here's a good example. The LFA TV hosts, we have a chat, right? We have a chat that we all go to that we talk to about business, and not only business, when we're joking on things, when we're having a good time. But sometimes we fight and argue, like family, like we do here sometimes. Sometimes it gets a little out of control. And if I see it getting a little out of control, my first thing is I'll come in like a dad and I'll go, okay, guys, all right, everybody said what they need to say. Because all of us have very, very big personalities. All of us have very different ways of looking at things. Even though we're on the same team, we have a very different way of looking at things. So, and we're all very, very, passionate about what we think. So, of course, there are going to be arguments. And I'm always coming in going, all right, guys, if I see it, I'm like, all right, we all love each other here, right? Give each other a virtual hug. Give each other a virtual kiss, no homo. Joke. But that's what we do. I do the same thing with my kids. I do the same thing when I see my wife and my kids upset with each other about something. I come in, I am always the peacemaker. Always. Now, I know that there's been times where I've been out in the field for work and I've been not the peacemaker. But again, those are one of those times where I've fallen victim to the devil's traps and I feel very horrible for it. And I say to myself, I'm not doing that again. I'm just not going to ever do that again. Right? Are you a peacemaker? How are you in your jobs? How are you at your place of employment? How are you at your church? How are you in your homes? How are you? Are you the peacemaker or are you the one that says, hey, it's none of my business? Are you the one who's constantly trying to spread joy and value and fruit of God to people? Or are you reserved? Now, I know that we all have a different part to play. I do. I know that we all have a different part to play. I know that some of us are vocal. Some of us are not. Some of us are center of attention people. Some of us are not. But if you're going to be a child of God, you can't sit in the background. You can't sit on the fence. You can't not speak. You have to be a peacemaker and you have to spread the word of God. That means vocally or by your actions. Yes, Kodchik, when I think of those things, I think of Miami being one of the places, one of the many places that I did that in. I don't beat myself up for it anymore. I just remember, don't go back to that. KC says, peacemaker, no drama for this mama. And that's the other thing. Now, I used to be the complete, what's the opposite of a peacemaker, Eli? A shift starter? I was a shift starter. We'll put it that way. And I did it on purpose. I did it to see how many people's feathers I could ruffle. I did it to see how many people's minds I could break. Talk about manipulation. Talk about crazy. Only God can fix that, folks. I used to be the absolute opposite of a peacemaker. I used to run peacemakers out of town. We'll put it that way. Now, I said, would you like to feel that peace that you had when you first accepted Jesus or when you were in the womb? Troublemaker. There you go, kittenhead. That's probably better. That's probably a better word, right? How can we feel the peace that we once had when the world is so broken and there's so much famine, war, destruction, division? How can we block all that out and have peace? How can you do that? How can you do that when you have four teenagers and a seven-year-old who live in the world and everything they bring home? How do you have peace? You have peace in the spirit. If you can wake up every day and show those pearly whites or those gums, whatever it is you have in your mouth, if you can wake up every day and you can smile and you can go to bed every day smiling, that's because you're in peace in the spirit. It's that simple. Here's another thing too. You know that you are changing when you go from, oh, I love to argue and fight. I love to debate. I love to have back and forth that's heavily charged and aggressive, to I hate fighting. I hate arguing. I will walk away and not have to win the battle anymore. And I will say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to engage in that. I'm not going to say something in this situation that might cause more division. I'm not going to throw fire or fuel on the fire. I went from being the fire to I don't want to put anything on the fire. So I cleverly look for ways now to get out of those situations and not run from them. No, end them amicably, end them positively, and end them trying to show one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the problem is, 9 times out of 10, you're dealing with somebody who's not a believer, if you're talking about what I'm talking about right now. So to end it with God's word or Jesus' word is so difficult, because a lot of times that will cause more fighting or more arguing. So you have to show them the fruit of God. You have to show them the fruit of the Spirit. When you are truly at peace in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you from my own experience, the same things that I'm going through right now in my life, it is so much better of a life here on earth. No matter what you think is going on around you, or what may be going on around you. By the way, when I said what you think is going on around you, in most cases, we tend to dramatize the trouble and the problems that are going on in our lives and around us. You know what I mean? And we trivialize that stuff. If you just get away from that stuff for just a minute, and you let peace, real peace, take over your soul and your heart and your body and your mind and all of it, when you let real peace in, there's nothing, you don't want anything else. You are constantly looking for ways not to be angry, constantly looking for ways not to gossip, constantly looking for ways not to fight, not to yell, not to argue. You are looking for clever ways to end those before they even start. Fire extinguisher. Redneck, you nailed it. You nailed it. I went from being the fire to the fire extinguisher. And do you want to know what the cornerstone, where the turning point is from that to this? Pride. Pride. I can't imagine walking up to somebody and saying, would you like pure peace in your life? And they say, nope. I would have said that back in the day. But I can't imagine actually walking up to somebody now and saying, if you could have pure, utter peace in your life today, no arguments, no war, no anger, no anything. And they said, no, I don't want that. Pretty much, I would imagine that everybody in the world would want, not everybody, but a lot of people in this world, most, would say they want peace. They want to experience peace. There is a way to get it, folks. And I think there's only one way, to be honest with you. I've searched the world and couldn't find. I've searched the inner walls of prisons, reformatories, addiction facilities, rehabs, anger management, Alcohol Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, anger management, you name it. For 44 years old, I've seen quite a lot. I don't know why or how. I know what I was looking for now, I guess. But pride. Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be peaceful? I want to be peaceful. I don't care about being right. I don't care about being wrong. You want to know why? Because I don't matter that much. All I care about is whether he's right or wrong. And whether I am making him happy. If I'm bringing joy to him, that's all I care about. I don't care. If I know that I'm doing the right thing, if I know that I'm living God's word, if I'm truly, truly looking for peace, then I don't care what anybody on planet Earth, and I mean anybody, has to say about it. I don't care if they say I'm a hypocrite. I don't care if they say I'm wrong. I don't care if they say, well, that guy thinks he's better than everybody else. I don't care if you call me a Bible thumper. I don't care if you call me a liar, a cheater, a thief, a steal. I don't care. I don't care. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You want to know why? Because I'm a child of the Almighty Most High God. And if God be for me, then who could possibly be against me? We're talking about the God of God, the Lord of Lords, the God who mocked other gods. Look what he did to the Egypt when Moses went to get the Israelites out. Look how he mocked all their gods like they were nothing. Want to know why? Because Yahweh is the God of all gods. Peace. True peace. Once you can figure out where that is and where that lies, you don't need anything. You certainly don't need me. You wouldn't need Rise Up. You wouldn't need anything because you're already fulfilled in the spirit. Nothing on this planet, no TV, no amount of money, no preacher, no pastor, no church, no show. None of it can compare. None of it. And that's where I'm getting. That's where I'm getting, folks. I mean, I'm really getting there, and I'm getting there quick. You know what I mean? I got a couple videos to show you here. And the first one is this. Frank Turek video. Talking to Elisa Childers. My friend left Christianity. This is about a 4-minute video. Great conversation. I thought you'd like it. Let's go there now.
Probably parents or friends almost feel guilty when their loved one has now, you know, said, I don't want to see you again, you know, because yeah. Your beliefs are toxic and all this. But you have a little story in the book here about a lady by the name of Heather. That's what you named her anyway, because that's her name. You were saying that, why don't you just tell the story? You're not responsible for what she does is the moral of the story, but go ahead.
Yeah, so Heather is not her real name, of course. So Heather and I went to church together, and we were friends and became quite closer surrounding an experience of spiritual abuse that we'd been through together. Now, Heather ended up leaving the church, as we all did, and we stayed in touch, and I noticed that she was starting to deconstruct. And so she would email me questions about, you know, the New Testament, the reliability of the New Testament. And I would answer her questions and even send her some resources, some books to read, but she would write back with kind of the same question, just reformulated. And this started to happen again and again, and I couldn't really understand what was happening because I'm thinking, I'm giving her all these great resources and she's obviously wanting to dig deeper. There's books she can read, and she didn't really want to read those. She just wanted to keep kind of going back to Bart Ehrman and people like that. And so I was like, what's going on here? And it occurred to me that she had become persuaded that the Bible was written as a tool of oppression against women. It was written to keep women down because of this pastor that we had both known. You know, he kind of had that sort of mentality. And she just thought, well, Christianity must be built upon men just like him. And she really became persuaded that that was the case. So it didn't matter what I said to try to answer her question. She had drawn her conclusion already. Well, Heather went further into deconstruction and, as far as I understand, fully left the faith. But we had a dinner one night, and it was me and her and her husband. And we just talked, and they kept bringing up all these skeptical claims against Christianity, but it was also very emotionally charged. So Heather was crying a lot. She would just kind of gasp into these sobs. And I just didn't think that was the greatest time for me to pull out my, you know, apologetics toolkit and start, you know, telling her what she was wrong about. So I just listened. And at the end, we go out to the car and I give them hugs. And she kind of just blurted out, "Well, if you'd had any answers, we'd have taken them." And the implication was, you're a professional apologist and you didn't even have the answers to these questions we brought up. See, you don't, this whole thing is a sham. And that was the essentially the implication of that. And man, I carried that for a long time. I felt so bad, like I had really blown it. Like Heather has deconstructed because I couldn't answer her questions. And this is literally—
What are you doing tomorrow night, Heather?
Right.
I'll bring the answers tomorrow night.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I should have done that. But I was just, honestly, I was so shell-shocked by the accusation. And so then I realized, though, I thought, you know what? This is not on me. I am not that powerful. I am, you know, you're not all powerful. I'm not all powerful. And so Heather's deconstruction is not on me. Even if I would have said the most eloquently perfect, you know, answers, if I would have been Frank Turek at that dinner and just known exactly what to say, she still probably would have deconstructed because it was not, it's not a truth quest like we learned. It's not an intellectual problem. It's an emotional problem. And so this is the hope we hope to give people who read the book, because I've also had parents come up to me and say, you know, I've had some say, we did everything we thought we did right. We don't know what else we could have done. But I've had many others say, I totally blew it. When my kid brought up these problems, I lost my cool and I pushed them away. And now they don't want to talk to me anymore. And I love looking into the eyes of people like that and saying, you know what? It's not on you. You're just not that powerful. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can blow it. But you know what? What a great opportunity, if the opportunity arises, to model repentance and humility and say, hey, I'm so sorry that I didn't react the way that I wish I would have. It just shocked me. And I just ask your forgiveness. And I really want to try to do better. I really want to understand what's going on with you. And there's so many ways that you can model that. But ultimately, to know that, you know, your loved one's deconstruction is not your fault. People grow up in homes where they are taught they're discipled well, they're taught the scriptures, everything's great, and then the kid becomes an atheist. And there's other homes where they blow it on everything, and the kid becomes the next Billy Graham. So you never know. Mm-hmm. And just to do the best you can with what you have at the time, and know that it's just ultimately not on your shoulders.
Gotta love Frank Turek. I love those conversations too, you know, because they really help a lot of people. A lot of people are in those same situations. I just wanna touch on something that we talked about here in the chat real quick. So my father, this goes way back. I don't know if I have a lot of time to talk about this. My father basically disowned me when I went to prison. And when I got out of prison and I was on parole, my father treated me like the worst you could ever treat a human being. And when I decided to leave and chase my dream of being a musician, my father, you can guess at that point, wanted me on the railroad to work with him. Basically told me I was the most worthless thing that's ever happened, this, that, and the other. So my stepmother at the time, his wife, was the only person that I in the world to encourage me. She said, if you don't chase your dreams, then you will regret it forever. If you fail, you can always say, at least I tried. So my stepmother was the catalyst for me stepping out after parole and going on and doing my dream, which was to write and perform music. Unfortunately, from that day on, I didn't do it to complete my dream. I did it to rub it in my dad's face. So I always did it for the wrong reasons. 3 years later, my stepmother died at the age of 39. My dad used to be a big alcoholic and drug user, and he used to beat her physically a lot. I seen it. I witnessed it many times. And when she died from a rare blood disease out of nowhere, literally there was no problems with her whatsoever. She just fell dead. And my dad has blamed himself ever since because he was so rude and mean to her. And the last time I was out there, my dad was crying, talking about if God was real and he was really real, he would have never taken her from me. And it was very hard to try to talk to my dad in a way that he needs today, in the way that I can today. I couldn't have done it back then. I was too new of a Christian. I can do it now. And my dad needs me. He's still in that pain. He's still in a, he's still in spiritual and physical pain too. He's now on disability as well. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm going out there. My mom is in cancer treatment right now. They should be able to zap and get rid of all her cancer, but they also found out she has 4 brain aneurysms. One that she might need actual brain surgery on. The other 3 are small enough the blood thinners can get rid of them. All caused by cigarette smoking, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And let me just tell you this right now. My family's divided, and my firstborn, my beautiful one and only firstborn daughter, is deciding not to go with us and to stay with her mom, which I think is the worst choice on earth. And guess what? I'm at peace. I am in more peace than I've ever been in my life. And I have some of the worst things going on in my life right now that I could ever imagine. But God's got this. He does. He really does. I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to like deflect responsibility, because I have my responsibility. And I'm taking care of my responsibility, and I'm taking care of all my obligations. I'm not running from anything. I'm trying to save everyone. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to get people to feel like I feel. I wish I could take my dad's pain and my mom's cancer and my mom's aneurysms and my family's division and put it all on me and give it to God, because I know how to give it to Jesus. They do not. I know how to give it over to God. They don't. I can take it. They can't. Trust me, I'm at peace. I am at so much peace. I want you to watch this video real quick. We put this on the screen here. From OnlyFans to faith in Jesus, folks.
I love cheating. It's actually my biggest fantasy. You'll never want to cheat on me. You'll be drained. Like there's nothing left in you to cheat. But I will cheat because I'm bored. I am so thankful that God truly met me where I was, because I now feel emotions. I had this moment with God, and I was sobbing in my living room. I was at my wit's end, and I didn't understand what I was feeling, but I just knew it was like this outpour of emotion that I had not felt in such a long time. A couple of days prior, I had gotten my Bible out to set on a shelf because I needed something in that shelving cabinet, and it was just out.
It was like an old Bible you had as a kid, or a
it was
recent?
It was a birthday gift from my parents. It was out, and I just wanted an answer for why I was feeling this way. I was sobbing. I was looking at my fireplace. I grabbed the Bible, and I just like sat there, and I was just like praying. I was just like, God. I wasn't blaming God. I was just like, God, why do I feel this way? Like, what is it that I'm doing wrong? Obviously. And he was like, all you ever needed was me. So all I ever needed was him. I literally not only saw that in my brain, but like heard it. And that was all he needed to say to me for it to like manifest and to like to sink into my heart and my brain. And I just kept thinking that over and over and over again. And it wasn't in that moment that I had truly repented or anything. It was that I needed an answer, and he gave me an answer. I love cheating. It's actually
talk about a change, huh? Talk about a change. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you one more thing. You know about Bishop Mari Emanuel. Remember, he was going to, that guy tried to stab him and kill him. And remember, Eli, the knife wouldn't come out. He tried to like pull the blade out, and he was trying to stab that bishop, but the blade didn't come out. So he just struck him and beat him over and over and over again. Did you guys see the pastor that got the gun pulled on him in Pennsylvania this weekend? And the gun didn't fire? Did you guys see that? Folks, God is on the move. Hallelujah. If you didn't see it, watch this.
Terrifying moments unfolded, and they were caught on tape during a church service in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania yesterday, when a man pulled a gun on a pastor. This happened at Jesus' Dwelling Place Church in North Braddock. The incident was caught on video as that service was being live streamed. The attempted shooter, who police identified as 26-year-old Bernard Polite, walked up to the pulpit and aimed the gun at Pastor Glenn Germany, but thankfully the gun jammed. Another church member jumped in to tackle Polite and disarm him.
Once they raised the gun up, I jumped up, you know what I mean, from behind, got him from behind, struggled him down to the ground. I forgive him for what he did. I just mainly thank God that, you know what I mean, that nobody got hurt.
The gunman was arraigned early this morning for attempted homicide, and there's a brand new update coming in this morning. Police found a body inside a search of the suspect's home last night. They say that a man had been shot to death.
And ladies and gentlemen, he says that young man who did this said that God told him to do it. God has now prevented a blade from coming out and stabbing and killing Bishop Mari Emanuel. God has now stopped a bullet from coming out of a gun, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, God is on the move. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Mike Crispy, Unafraid, comes up next. I hope you guys have a great morning with your Rise Up coffee and your Bibles. We had almost 1,700 people watching the message this morning. And if I could end with this, find peace. Don't rely on the government or wars to stop or inflation or money. Just bring peace to your heart. I love you guys. Have a great morning. I'll see you at 11 o'clock, okay? Bye-bye. Let me go.